Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, April the 1st, 92nd day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Humboldt County Supervisor in the first, Rex Bone.
Ryan, how are you doing?
The 1-1 thing?
One-to-one.
Kind of makes sense, yeah. This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time catching up on where Measure Z is, as we're, about 6 weeks away from whatever the final recommendations will be thrown in front of the soups. And also, we'll spend a little bit of time talking about small town. Even in little old Humboldt County, there's small towns and some of the cool stuff that Rex is able to participate in those communities. We'll do those.
Best Spanish language station on the North Coast is Juan 790. Tune in to 790 AM for great music, sports from ESPN, and CNN News en Español. If you're a business owner, ask Juan to connect you with the Spanish-speaking community. You'll be glad you did. Visit Juan online at juan790.com or give us a call at 442-5744. Juan 790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Rex Bone. But before we do, our quote this afternoon. Let's see if we can find something worthwhile. Oh, I can make a substitution here. Mark Twain, 1835 to 1910. Quote, "In the first place, God made idiots. That was practice. Then he made...
politicians."
Yeah, well, it says school boards,
That's what they say. If you want to be a politician, fill your mouth up with marbles, and once you've lost all your marbles, you're one of them.
You are one, yeah. So what's going on with Measure Z, Rex? Are you guys seeing the progress that you were hoping to have with the appointed folks?
Yeah, the guys. It's I heard the last meeting was starting to get a little tenacious. I mean, because now we're starting to, you know, figure out where the tax go, the sticky dots go on the board and everything. And I think all the, we hit the deadline for the proposals, and I heard there was like $18 to $19 million worth of asks, and you've got about $8 million to pick from, or a little $8 million plus. So this is when we turn to the public and we look at what the public asked for. And, you know, first and foremost, or what I interpreted to the public and the people that I talk to, is they want to see rural sheriffs, and they want to see their rural fire departments safely being able to go out on a call safely and defend their houses against fire and wildfires and brush fires. And they also want a sheriff out there when they hear something goes bump in the night. They'd like to know he's going to be there before Tuesday taking a report. And so those are the things they'd like to see.
Did most of those proposals make allowances for that? Or are you privy to them?
I'm gonna get them probably tomorrow or the next day. I think we get them this week. So I have not seen them all, but they hit the whole gamut. They're all over the place, but they gear everything towards public safety. So, you know,
the contentiousness, is that folks doing what you guys put them there for, to defend the district, to defend the concept, to defend the, or had it denigrated down into personality conflicts?
And, you know, you look at that board, and it's a bunch of pretty bright people who are experienced bright people from this area. And there are a myriad of business, law enforcement, fire, community members, a little bit of everything. So, and the best part about it, they all live in different parts of the community. My guy, like I said, is a rural fireman out, you know, not rural, somewhat rural, out in Lolita. Fits my bill perfect. Other guys, yeah, and so they've got a good contrast. And they know what they need and what their neighbors need and what they feel like their neighbors needed. I know John Flyer, who's my rep, he calls me and says, "Hey, I'm going to the fire meeting in Ferndale. I'm going to the Rotary and ask them what they feel." He went out there and knocked on doors.
Doing
basically
some aggressive outreach.
Yeah, he went out and he asked if that was okay. And I said, "John, that's great. I really appreciate you doing that." And so he went out and, you know, really stepped it up. And I know the other people stepped it up because I've talked to some of the other members on the committee and stuff like that. And they're just like the rest of us. We want to do the right thing. It's the people's money. It was 56% of the people wanted us to do it. So as I've said 10 other times, 44% of it, we've got to prove to them we're going to do the right thing. But the best part about this is performance-based. You're going to start seeing, you know, I was talking to Sheriff Downey, and he knows. People want to see some differences. They want to see that sheriff. They want to, you know, and he's trying to figure out how to ramp these things up. He had some, Sheriff's Department hasn't had anything extra in quite a while, but he had some guys that he could put down in Garberville, and you can see the results that they've had in Garberville. I mean, they're making multiple heroin busts, stolen car busts. You know, Kenny Swithenbank is up here. Jesse's down there. We got a new deputy heading it up down there, Sheriff. And it's just a new set of eyes. It's a new set of everybody's doing their job. And a lot has to do is we've got a district attorney that's prosecuting all these people now. And so it invigorates the guys that are arresting them. It's, you know.
Or at least gives them pause for thought that what they're doing might be taken through the entire
process. There's no doubt about that. There's no doubt about that. That, you know, that the full process, the full gamut. You break the law, you get arrested, you go to court, you go to jail. Do you want to do that again? Maybe that cycle will stop. Maybe it won't. But if you get arrested, you know, if you break the law, get arrested, and then it doesn't, that doesn't happen. And a lot of that had to do with maybe Paul was understaffed. Maybe that was a big part of it. And so hopefully we're going to bring the DA up to full staffing. So there are consequences when you break the law, because a lot of people feel like there was not enough consequences.
As you're looking at the implementation of that, are you chomping at the bit yourself?
You know, I've got mixed emotions. And I don't know if people are...
Because it does start today.
Yeah. The tax starts today.
Yeah,
it starts today. It starts April 1st. And so the big portion of this is everybody really believes, and I truly believe that their belief is what they're asking for, they need right now. And some of this, it's a five-year implementation. So some of these are going to be ongoing costs. I mean, you know, there's going to be no doubt in my mind that, you know, we the guys we hired to be sheriffs this year are still going to want to get paid next year. So we've got to anticipate the ongoing costs. A lot of the volunteer fire departments, you know, as we bring them up with air packs and new turnouts and things like that, a lot of them haven't had any for 10 years. So they're not going to get new ones every year. So we know that. So we've got to figure out, you know, do we roll us over 5 years? Do we hit everybody's buttons the first year and then scale back? It's going to be that's going to be the hard part to make things the best.
KINS News and Information Times 319.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rex Bone. Rex, with Measure Z conceptually, I know a lot of folks had some hesitation about it. Okay, fine. Some folks were excited about it. Okay, fine. You look at some of the different areas of revenue that the counties and the governments within the counties anticipate. You know, gas tax. Okay. Gas tax. Prices at the pump go down, everybody celebrates. Government's wine. you kind of look at it like two sides of the same equation. Does the county have, and I don't know what the number is from the gas tax that Public Works gets, but as the barrel is now down 42, 43, somewhere in that neighborhood, down from the 100 and somethings.
51.
Is there percentage, is there a dollar set aside? Do you guys have contingency for something as unanticipated as that?
The 20-year gas tax now, the way I understand it, covers about 35%. What we get out of it now covers about 35% of what it did when it was implemented for our local roads.
Because the present value of the dollar, because of inflation?
Inflation, because it's not set. It does not. I mean, we pay...
It's a flat percent.
It's been a while. It's not even a percent. It's straight. It's 18.4 cents.
of
it's,
oh, okay.
I want to say it's 18.4 cents for. It's been a while since I've done this, but 18.4 cents or whatever.
I thought it was
for gasoline and 24.1 or something like that for diesel is what it used to be. There was 6 cents more for diesel, but that number hasn't changed. That number hasn't changed. Or I mean,
so regardless of what we're paying at the pump, those percent those. Yeah. That amount is baked.
That's the state, and then the federals go on top of that. So
what? Then that goes to the state. Does the county have
state? Yeah, part of that comes back as road funds. But that part of that, we don't get as big a percentage as we used to get. And
so the
state's
siphoning.
Yeah. And the other thing is a ton of asphalt back then was $60. Now it's $110. I'm just. I have no idea. But I mean, right, so the costs have gone up, but it hasn't gone up. If we were getting 5%. You know, I mean, gas 9 years ago was $1.50 a gallon. So if you're getting 5%, there's 7.5 cents for every gallon, and now it's 3, you'd be getting 15 cents for every gallon, but you're not getting that. You're getting the same 18 cents.
How do other states fund their road systems?
A lot of it is gas tax. I mean, very few states don't have a gas tax. You can go, we're one of the higher state. California is one of the higher. Imagine that. But we're one of the highest. But I mean, the federal money's all in there. So all the federal tax dollars, the federal highways, you know, that era. But then they usually all have a gas tax, a highway road tax.
I'm curious.
And you can pull it up. I mean, if somebody wanted to look it up, you could put state taxes on fuel and it's, and you can compare it and stuff.
I'm wondering because California has whatever number of roads California has or number of miles or whatever. Yeah. We don't seem to be putting in a lot of roads, a lot of renovation and fix-ups. Okay, fine. But it's such a convoluted picture.
We're adding lanes, though. If you notice everywhere you used to go, there used to be 3 lanes, is now 4 lanes. So you still
not Myrtle.
Yeah. But you used to have, yeah, but I mean, you go to Santa Rosa. Used to be a 50-mile stretch down there of two-lane highway. Now you've got
federal dollars and state dollars and local dollars all pumping into that.
But I agree. But that 50-mile stretch of road, you know, times 4 lanes is now 200 rather than, you know, times 2 would be,
right.
Yeah.
Right, and it's being paid for and handled by another department. What I'm looking at is Public Works in all the counties in California versus Public Works in other counties in the country. Are we expecting too much, or are there so many roads? I mean, think of like a Wyoming or a Utah.
Yeah.
They got a zillion roads all over the place. You know, are they all 4-lane?
But they only have 7 cars on them, so the wear and tears, you know.
Yeah.
And a lot of those are federal highways.
I would suggest their winter, though, is probably as challenging.
It's a big deal. I mean, that's why you see they call them the black snakes all over. They fill all those holes up. You know, every crack they get, they've got to get on them right away and put the black tar or fill them up because what happens is water gets in them.
Yeah, you then throw it the freezes. Oil down and
then it freezes and expands, and then it contracts and it just tears up. So you'll see that those snake highways they call them or whatever because they got all the little ripples and stuff. But we go back, we talk about our roads and our roads are, you know, and I do this every time too. I defend the hell out of the road guys because I ask them to do something. And they're usually right on it. And they're usually a lot more proactive than reactive, but sometimes things just get really bad.
That's right. I'm looking at the other side, not the department, but what the community expectations are.
Yeah,
I've got roads all over the place in a whole bunch of areas that really nobody's there. Well, does it make sense for us? What, we got 1,250 miles, something like that?
Yeah, it's like 12-night,
neighborhood. Well, so what if we said, okay, 1,000, and we just not worry about.
Sonoma did this 3 years ago when they were in a pretty tough time. They were talking about taking 600 miles worth of road and letting them go back to a gravel state, sealing them, letting them go back to a gravel state, and the citizenry went nuts. And
nuts
part of the problem
point is of paying more or just nuts saying want roads instead of cops.
They made them find the money, and I just remember hearing about how many roads they were talking about. Now, with that being said, we have a lot of what you would call destination roads. There'll be 4 or 5 ranches and a few houses on a road, you know, and stuff. I've got quite a few in my district and stuff like that. And what we're doing now is the asphalt has been so torn up on them. We're actually grinding up the asphalt, grinding up the road, rolling it out and emulsifying it. And it's actually becoming a hard tack. And then all we have to do is go out and grade it once a year. And it's
working.
It's been fairly, well, it's a lot better than having 4 feet of asphalt and then 12 feet of rock and doing that thing. So It's been pretty successful. I've said this before, the public works, you know, 15, 18 years ago, used to have 17 barns and 160 guys, and now they have six barns with like 60 guys.
Can you get that product from Caltrans as they're doing their stuff?
Or the chips and stuff. We work out, but now that's become a big commodity. The grindings, when you see that big thing going down the road, that's become a very good commodity to use on a lot of these roads because it's a very rough edged because it's just been ground out by chips and so it bonds and it's got a little bit of it's asphalt. And so after you drive on it, and especially on warm days, it becomes pretty hard. So it's become a commodity. I've got 140 loads of it for base on my ball fields out at Redwood Fields, and the whole upper parking lot, that's all it is grindings rolled in. And I don't get ruts, I don't get anything else. It's a very good commodity rather than gravel, which tends to dig out, float, and roll out the round rocks, you know.
Yeah, you get thrown all over. Yeah. KINS, News and Information Times, 3:30.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540227, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rex Bone. Rex, the concept of small town, we were talking with the roads. Okay, there's not a lot between here and there. And when you get there, there's not much there either. Okay, fine. Some will say that's part of our challenge here because there
it's also the biggest part of our appeal.
Yeah, I mean, the two truths thing again. Does that dynamic in our area, your district, certainly Estelle's district and Ryan's also, does that add to the appeal or does that make it so much more challenging to be in a leadership position where you've got all of that instead of being in a concentrated area?
You know, except for the miles traveled, you know, to go out to Honeydew and Petrolia and all those miles traveled and everything else, I like the distinction of the small burgs, small towns, you know, the small town,
the bake sale,
you bet, the bake sale fire department, you know, the little thing I was, you know, we were talking about Ryan and I and wives went up to Oreck for the corned beef and cabbage fundraiser they have every year for the Chamber of Commerce. And they also send the kids to, I think like two kids or two eighth graders or something. I think they only have, like, I don't know, 14 kids in the school, but I mean, but they send some kids to Washington, D.C., and they're really big at getting them that. But we go up there, and the place is full, and the people come down from the park, and they have a big auction and corned beef and cabbage, and it's just, but
no,
it's
no
neat
elk
because
meat this year?
No elk meat. But I mean, it's very interesting. It's good, you know. And I get out into a lot of these small places, but they're such a strong dynamic, especially from the legacy people that live there. But so many people realize now in this day and age, when somebody new comes down, it used to be they were kind of standoffish. And now I think people are more accepting, realizing new blood means new ideas, means new help, means somebody that'll work on the cook line, you know, I mean, type of deal. But it's new members for the volunteer fire department. It's, you know, and you take a look at some of these volunteer fire departments, all these young kids that, you know, are on it and working really hard. But they're all being led by somebody that grew up in that town who's been the leader or repeat leader of the fire department. So that's, I think that adds to the mystique and to the allure of these small towns.
As you have the various requests, because I know you still do the auctioneering stuff, are there more requests now than there were 10 years ago, say, because there's all these small little areas and everybody's dealing with the lack of economic anything going on, and there's just more and more reliance on this?
I sometimes think it's the only way I can get invited to something if I'll do the auction, so I got to be careful on this. But no, there's quite a few. I mean, there's two or three a weekend that you could do if you want. I mean, last weekend I did three, you know, and they were all, you know, they're all volunteer, they're all 501, you know, nonprofits that just, I mean, it's a big part of what they do. I mean, the FFA last week before Eureka High Boosters, you know, this week it's McKinleyville Chamber and Scotia Elementary, and that there are, or last week. And so, I mean, it's just, these are all good things, and they're fun. It's a good way to get out and see the people.
It really is. It saves you knocking on doors.
It really is two purposes. But these were all things I've been doing for the last 20 some odd years anyway. So I was doing them anyway. I was very fortunate to have a great teacher in Don Johnson on how to do them. And then he's been, you know, learn from the master.
Continuing to suggest that you do them.
Yeah. And Dave now is doing it, his son.
Is Dave doing it?
So when I get doubled up, I was doubled up last week. I cut 2 weeks ago. I had Dave came in and did it for me and stuff like that. But some people are stopping doing them. But I just got one out of nowhere for April, I think the night after Cash Bash for St. Bernard's. Triumphant Life Camp is having a fundraiser, and I guess it's a fun fundraiser, and they asked if I could do, you know, back-to-back, and I said, well, I've done that before, but it means a lot to them, and it's nice to help, to do your little thing. I mean, these people spend weeks putting these things together, getting the meals lined up. I just have to show up and make noise and leave, so it's pretty easy for me. So,
well, you know, as long as you keep the bar low,
I get all the fun. I get all the fun. Yeah.
Oh, the celebrity of the title, has that drawn more of this kind of attention to you, or are people respecting it?
It's a little bit of both. I mean, yeah, and it's kind of funny. Is most everybody, my good friends and everything else, it's just I'm still just Rex. You know, I really enjoy the job. I really enjoy, I mean, every day I get somebody calling mad at me, but at least once a day I get somebody calling me up and thanking me for something I've done or we got fixed for them. And a lot of it's, you know, it's not always a barking dog. Sometimes it's just a patch in the road that they hit every day when they drive to their driveway. And they say, can you get that fixed? Yeah, no problem. You know?
Well, I was saying, so when you're out doing these various events,
oh, I keep notes.
Do you get that feedback also?
I write notes. Usually what I do is I call it to my phone at work, and I says, hey, don't forget the pothole on, you know, Hawks Hill Road. Do not forget, you know, and just little things like that so I don't forget them and stuff like that. But people appreciate it. Sometimes it's just as little as making a phone call to one of the departments and says, hey, could you take a look at this for them? And it's what seemed to be a monumentous, you know, problem. Says, no, we can do this and fix this, and yeah, this will work. And it's kind of intimidating at first, and then with our staff at in all the departments, planning, building, it doesn't matter, tax collector, assessor, all the way through, all our staff, they will bend over backwards to help you. Sometimes they still have to abide by the law. That's, you know, there's still the parameters that they have to, but they'll work with you to get through that. And I says, we're lucky to have the people we do have that work for us, and they are there to serve the people. It sounds kind of corny to say that, but I've seen it 95% of the time, and 5% of the time, maybe they're both having a bad day, maybe something falls through the cracks. I mean, you know, nobody's perfect and that stuff. But overall, I think they do a pretty good job. And at the end of the day, people call and say thank you. I hear people call and say, hey, I had a great, I went to the planning and building, I went to the assessor, I went here, I went there, and things worked out really well. And I'll call up and tell them thank you. I mean, that's a big deal. If somebody calls to say thanks for that department, you know,
you gotta pass it on.
I gotta pass it on because I didn't have a damn thing to do with it. I mean, you know, it's the person behind the counter that's stepping up and doing the job. So,
KINS News and Information Times 3:43. We'll be back with more from Rex Bone.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times 3:46, final segment of this afternoon with Rex Bone. Rex, as you look at the area, you know, you got all the community and the support and the stuff we were talking about in the very small rural areas. Do you sense that esprit de corps in Eureka or in Cutton? I don't. It's, you know, when we were growing up, you used to be proud. Yeah, I'm from Eureka. Now, I live in Myrtletown. I live in Cutton. That sense of of ownership, that sense of community that the small guys have.
I
sense that.
I get it. Yeah, I think you still do get it, and I think you get it in segments of Eureka, maybe not as a whole, but, you know, but I mean, obviously the West Side is trying to come together and do their thing with Jefferson School and their things, and they're trying to create something down there. And I notice, like, and I notice if one house on the block gets cleaned up, well, the next one gets cleaned up. The next one gets peer pressure works great and stuff like that. Cutting, you know, they've always done real good because they've got the, you know, they've got the Cutting Ridgewood School District for one. It creates a little bond. It helped having it helped having Winship open back up. It did that helped immensely. I think that created, because you're not going to Zane, and I think it also, you know,
it's a neighborhood.
Yeah, it's a neighborhood, and it's kind of funny because I go into, you know, Murphy's, you know, once or, you know, twice a, you know, day, sometimes it seems like that, and you see everybody, you get to talk to everybody and things like that. You know, I catch heck when I say, hey, I got to run to the store, and I, you know, I always says, well, see you in an hour, you know, and stuff like that. The little upgrades, and it doesn't seem like much, but at Harrison, I mean, you've got the new Safeway store built with that terrible parking lot. But anyway, you've got the new Safeway.
I haven't had the thought, you know, if they just angled the slots instead of straight, they'd make it so much nicer.
I loved the old Safeway because that's where I grew up.
Yeah,
so I knew where everything was. I can't find anything in the new one. But, you know, and so I go to Murphy's. But, and I know Pat. I don't know Mr. Safeway. So,
yeah.
But I mean, it's still, but they built a very nice store and they've got, it's a full stop service right there. And now you've got Jack Rickey.
Across the
taking
street,
a gamble at the old Safeway store and doing a little lumber garden and everything else. So he's making a gamble that, you know, he can service the people of Cutting with that and create a little more. The little bond that Henderson Center people have. They're pretty proud of Henderson Center. I get to play Santa Claus there every year at Christmas and stuff like that. And they've got, I think they've had four new restaurants open up in the last 2 months there.
Yeah, I don't know. All of a sudden, boom,
and,
boom, 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 boom.
No, and the little, I've heard it four times this week, the little Japan. They said, you ought to go in there. It's a great store. And I haven't been in there. I was at the old location, but I haven't been in there. But I hear it's doing real well. And then you have the Staples, you know. So those things are great to see because that's a great little hub. You know, and that's within walking distance for a lot of people, you know. And so that creates a good little hub. So having a little pride in your local neighborhood and stuff like that, I think is great. I mean, that's what makes us special because we don't have 900,000 people in our county. We got 130,000, and we're spread out over 4,400 square miles. Pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. Jeez, look at that. We got all the way through the show. We didn't talk about homeless or job development. Maybe next time, huh?
Yeah.
Maybe. Okay. Glad to see the cue cards were written nice and big enough for you there.
Yeah. I'm just glad
I could. Who are you talking to? Me?
I'm just glad I could fill the hole on April Fool's.
Yeah, you know what? And nobody does it better than you. Thanks for coming by, bud.
You bet. Thank you.
We've been Talking Shop with Rex Bone. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug some of your love. See you tomorrow.